The 3D Dynasty Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, brought to you by Edge Boost. Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today. And we're going to recap a little bit of last week's show. Where's my guy, the FF Bourbon Dude? We had a fun show last week. We had two fun shows last week, checking out the AFC North, AFC East. Today, we're going to cover the NFC North. And just a reminder, always housekeeping, if you like this show, you can always support us for free by really all you have to do is just hit the subscriber button. And so thanks, Jakey, for the soundbite, likes, reviews, all that stuff. And of course, just send your comments and questions. We love to talk fantasy football. You can join our Discord channel. But let's recap the show. Brad, let's talk about what made you react like this?
Top 7-8 dynasty, you're having to pay up to get him. He did not feel like you were getting a top 12.
Now,
oh man!
When I said that, you definitely reacted strongly. So, what did you think I said about T. Higgins?
It sounded like you said to me that T. Higgins was not a top flight wide receiver. That's how I took it. It shocked me to hear it. That's obviously why you saw my reaction, but I'm curious if that's what you actually said.
And so what I said was last year, he did not feel like a number one receiver. So last year, where he had four wide receiver one finishes, a bunch of wide receiver two finishes and multiple wide receiver three finishes. So that's what I said. He is my wide receiver 10 in Dynasty. I think he's a great receiver. He's a borderline wide receiver 12 this year, but he finished wide receiver 17 last year. So he was not a top 12 wide receiver. But the reaction's good. It's on TikTok. It's on YouTube. Make sure you guys check that out. And, we're always having fun on here, and one of the things you'll see is that Brad and I do not always agree on stuff, and that's fine. That's part of fantasy football. You can disagree without trying to kill each other like people do on Twitter. It kind of shows you guys are adults, and so we try to do that here on the show. But we're going to talk about the Chicago – Nathan, what's up, man? We're going to talk about the Chicago Bears. We're going to recap the Chicago Bears draft. We're going to recap their offseason. And we're going to talk about their dynasty outlook, but of course, we're going to use Mike Clay's projections to talk about this year. Because of course, in dynasty, it's all about the future, but you still have to play dynasty this year. And so to recap what the Bears were able to do this offseason, it starts out with the monster trade. They acquired pick 9, DJ Moore, and multiple picks after trading back from 1, thanks to Lovie Smith, who has a statue being framed up in his honor. So you got the big trade for, you know, for all those picks and DJ Moore. In the draft, they picked up Darnell Wright, offensive tackle in the first round. Garvin Dexter, a defensive lineman in the second round. Tyreek Stevenson, a corner in the second round. Zach Pickens, an edge in the third round. Rashawn Johnson, fourth round, running back. Tyler Scott, receiver, fourth round. Noah Sewell, linebacker, fifth round. That is Penei Sewell's brother, also in the NFC North. Terrell Smith, corner. Travis Bell, and then Kendall Williamson. And then to talk about their free agency, we talked about getting DJ Moore in the trade. They also got Andrew Billings. He's a defensive lineman, run stuffer. Dylan Cole, linebacker. Nate Davis, guard. Tremaine Edmonds, linebacker. TJ Edwards, linebacker. Deonta Foreman, running back. We got Rasheen Green, edge, Travis Homer, running back. You have Robert Tonyan, tight end, PJ Walker, quarterback, DeMarcus Walker, edge, and Ryan Anderson, a punter. PFF gave him an A minus for the offseason and a B plus for the draft. Brad, as far as their offseason, what do you think about it?
I mean, obviously, for the offensive side of the ball, I like a couple of the additions in DJ Moore and Roschon Johnson. I think they were looking for a replacement for David Montgomery. I do think, obviously, Khalil Herbert's the guy there, but I think seeing them add to that running back room is going to be helpful for them as a football team. Maybe not so helpful for us as fantasy folks who like to see that bell cow back, because now you got three guys that you're just not sure what that workload looks like. But I do like I said, the addition of DJ Moore really helping Justin Fields in the future, saying, hey, we're going to bring in some more weapons for you, somebody outside of just Darnell Mooney and a newly mid-season acquired guy in Chase Claypool. It's going to be nice to see. You hope to see Justin Fields kind of take a little bit of a step in the progression for the passing game, which is really the only aspect of the game that we're really missing right now, because you saw him rush for over 1,000 yards. So now do we think that, or do we hope that with the weapons that they brought in, that he can now be that, you know, an elite passer as well?
So let's look what Mike Clay has him. He is in as the QB6 and says 312 points. How does he get there? It's 3,192 passing yards, 22 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, and 6 rushing touchdowns with 912 yards on the ground. They haven't played 15 games, so almost a full season. That's a lot of points, and QB6, that's good. That's really good. And so a lot of people are saying that this is going to be his Jalen Hurts kind of a year. What are your thoughts here about him as QB6?
I mean, this just, again, we've talked about it before. It shows how rushing is just a cheat code for the quarterback position. You see him go for 900-plus yards and 6 touchdowns on barely over 3,000 yards passing and just barely breaking 20 passing touchdowns. That's a lot of beneficial pimp points coming from the rushing side that he brings. And it's just, you know, whether you think it's fair or not, it is what it is. So, yeah, I think that is well within the realm of possibility that you're looking at a guy that's top 10 strictly because of his rushing upside. I do think the one caveat, and scoring is always relevant when you go from one fantasy league to another league. In leagues that severely penalize you for fumbles, I'm in a league that is minus 4 points per fumble and minus an additional 2 if you lose it. So you could be down 6 points for any lost fumble. He had 17 fumbles. Not all of those were lost, but count it, 17 fumbles throughout the season. And if the scoring in your league is really detrimental for that, yeah, it's going to knock him down those rankings just a little bit. So be very careful with that.
Yeah, no, I definitely understand that. And one thing I also understand is Edge Boost. This episode is supported by Edge Boost, and we talked about it earlier. Make sure you guys are checking it out. Edge Boost is the world's first bet now, pay later Visa card. Edge currently is offering $2,500 in betting advances, which can be extremely valuable tool. Imagine you had an increased bankroll or you're trying to play the NFL futures. You don't want to tie up money until January. You get down on your favorite futures without tying up your bankroll. Double down on your favorite bets now and create an awesome middle or even hedge. Edge Boost isn't some sleazy loan shark as they charge zero interest. Do you know if any other way to access money to take place on your favorite bets and without any interest? No. Edge Boost can also be a part of responsible gambling, as you can set up daily, weekly, and monthly limits across all your betting accounts all in one place. Support SGPN and grow your bankroll by going to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. You must be 21 or older to use. Problem gambling, please call 1-800-GAMBLER. So as far as the running backs, I was having a conversation with Andrew today, and he said, you know, Why don't you have Roschon Johnson a little higher? And I was like, I'm pretty high on Rashawn Johnson, but I'm not high enough, I guess. And so, Brad, I know Khalil Herbert has a place in your heart. And so what do you feel like when you see this? Mike Clay is saying Khalil Herbert is going to be the lead dog in this backfield, but he does say it's going to be a mess.
Yeah, I think this is spot on. It's just going to be a mess. Do you really want to play any of these guys? No, I don't think so, because there isn't one that you know is going to be the guy in any given week. I do think Khalil Herbert is likely to lead them in carries, even though he's really the cheapest of the three, if you really want to think about it from a monetary perspective. They paid Deonta Foreman to come in. Khalil Herbert's still on his rookie contract. Roshan Johnson's on a rookie contract. So, you know, is there a world where Deonta Foreman could lead him? Yeah, but I just don't see that. I think they like what they have in Khalil Herbert. They were comfortable with allowing David Montgomery to walk. I just don't have them very far apart. I've got Khalil Herbert at RB32 right now. I've got Deonta Foreman at 41 right now. And Roshan Johnson down at 52 right now. So, I mean, those things, it just, again, goes to say, even those of us who see, hey, yeah, we think we like Khalil Herbert a little bit more. I haven't been a huge fan of him, but the writing is there, I think, for him to lead. It's just there's not a whole lot of separation, whether you look at these projections here, whether you look at people's rankings, or even if you look at some of the OTA reports where they talk about, hey, all these guys look good. Well, this is not helpful for us right now in fantasy. So
yeah, we'll know more as the season comes along. So if you have drafts later on, like, monitor the situation. And this could be a big win. If you get Rashawn Johnson in the middle of your second round, it ends up being the starter, it's huge. And so it is worth the risk where he's going. If you're having to pay up at the end of the first round, then that's a little too rich for me. And Khalil Herbert, I mean, if someone has Khalil Herbert, they most likely traded for him last season, hoping that he would be the starter this year. And let's be honest, we aren't fully confident who's going to be the starter this year, or at least they're going to be, you know, anyone's going to be worth it for fantasy football. And there's nothing saying they don't replace them next year. Rashawn Johnson, he's got fourth round draft capital, pretty good. Deonta Foreman's a free agent next year. Khalil Herbert's a free agent in 2025. He's also, he's a seventh round pick. If not undrafted free agent, he's a free agent in 2025. So there's no certainty here. And Justin Fields is going to take a lot of that from them. What I can say is, in your best ball leagues or in your redraft leagues, if you get the cheapest guy, that might be the best bet. And so Rashawn Johnson is going to be the cheapest, most likely, and just get him. And so if, you know, one of these guys goes down, everyone else gets a bump. And he might be one of those guys that ends up getting, you know, a pretty substantial bump. And then Justin Fields, especially if your scoring is, you know, 4-point touchdowns, that rushing is a huge, huge boost, and you're going to want to use that. And so let's go into the receivers, and they've really revamped this receiving room. Last year, they didn't really do anything to it. They got Velus Jones in the draft, got booed for their moves, and then they added Chase Claypool later on. I thought that was probably a bad move, but that's what they got. I didn't dislike Claypool. I just didn't like what they paid for him. They paid pick 32, which I know at the time they didn't know, but you knew it was going to be a pretty early second, and it was just an overpay. But Claypool, DJ Moore, Darnell Mooney, Equanimee St. Brown, Velus Jones, Tyler Scott, this is a much better set of weapons for Justin Fields this year. And he did show some progress last year. I know most of it was on the ground, but you did see some progress with him, and you saw some progress on the offensive line. And talking about the offensive line, I love the moves they made on the offensive line. Being able to get Darnell Wright, one of the best pass blockers in the draft, going and making some moves on the defense, on the defensive line. The team is focused on building in the trenches, but really did a nice job of adding some pieces to support Justin Fields, not only with weapons, but also the offensive line and the running game. So DJ Moore's projections, 58 rushing yards, 64 receptions, 926 yards, and seven touchdowns. Seven touchdowns would be huge. DJ Moore, he's typically been four touchdowns every year. But he breaks it here, but he doesn't get the yardage or the receptions. 64 out of 112 targets. That's not saying a lot of good things about Justin Fields and his accuracy. And DJ Moore has typically had much higher than a 50% catch rate. But 22 as far as his rank and PPR, that seems a little low for me. Chase Claypool, 53. Equanimee St. Brown is 132. And Darnell Mooney, 63. So really the only guy you're interested in is DJ Moore. And when it comes down to it, the other guys, it's really going to be hard to play them on a weekly basis. This is a team that is a very low pass volume team. And as far as, you know, Justin Fields, we still haven't seen it. And if we're going to see him produce through the air, it's going to be hard for him to support more than one, you know, one receiver than he's doing currently. And so I would say DJ Moore is someone I'm interested in, but really at the price point, it's hard if you're going to get, you know, wide receiver 22. Because he is still going for a pretty substantial price. Look at the running backs. Herbert, Rashawn Johnson, they're both going for a similar rate, whether it's a, you know, late first, early second in your super flex leagues, late first in your one quarterback leagues. Still a little high. Like, I feel like some of these guys are really harder to acquire because of their price. And so, yeah, like Nathan, it's going to be hard to get all these running backs. You know, someone's going to miss out, and we'll see injuries happen and things like that. But if they're all healthy all year, it's going to be a mess. So, Brad, thoughts on the, well, let's real quick, let's check in with the sponsors and then we'll get back to the wide receivers.
All right. So we've talked about bets in here, but guess what? I started my best ball drafts and I only do them with Underdog Fantasy. And guess what? We're brought to you by our friends at Underdog. So Best Ball Mania 4 is here, and Underdog Fantasy is giving away $15 million in prizes. Plus, they have plenty of ways to win with NBA, NHL, and MLB player prop parlays as well. So all you got to do, head over to underdogfantasy.com and use our promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus of up to $100. Again, that's underdogfantasy.com. Promo code SGPN.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
And let's talk about Cole Kmet. So Cole Kmet, tight end 13. They have him getting 54 receptions, 578 yards, and four touchdowns. Not really a great end of the year line. And, you know, really, we don't care about the end of the year line. We want to know what's he going to do on a week-to-week basis. And if you chop those numbers up and divide them by 17 – not great, Bob. Cole Kmet, he's been someone that, you know, people have been excited for last year, kind of like he's going to be the second guy in town. So, like, kind of like what everyone's doing with Chig or Conquo right now. He's the second guy, so he's going to be really good. We assume that he's going to be really good, but it's also a really bad offense. And Cole Kmet is going to be third, maybe fourth, maybe fifth on the totem pole here as far as, you know, passing. And there's not a lot of food on the table with only 274 completions. So what are your thoughts on Cole Kmet? Is he someone that you're interested in trying to acquire right now?
I am, because I think the price is pretty cheap. He's coming off the board right now as tight end 13 in Dynasty ADP. But this is a guy that led his team in targets last year. Now, I understand that was a team without DJ Moore, but I do think it shows the trust level that the organization has in him, the trust level that maybe Justin Fields has with him. Now, do I think he's going to be the number one target getter in Chicago? No, that is the crown for DJ Moore. But I do think it's plausible that this guy is number two in targets in the team. Nobody's going to convince me that EQ or Velus Jones or Tyler Scott or Chase Claypool are going to beat him out in targets. There's a chance Darnell Mooney does, but I think there's just as likely of a chance for Cole Kmet to be the second in targets. And on a team that has the passing volume that they have, the small amount, we're looking at 439 attempts. That is not a lot. So you need this tight end to be in the top two target getters to really even be a plausible guy from a week-to-week basis. And I think we saw some weeks from Cole Kmet last year that we were okay with. So I do think for the right price right now, Cole Kmet is a guy that I'd be okay with on my dynasty squad.
Yeah, and those numbers that we said were a little low, PJ Walker is also playing two games. So we'll just say 500 attempts and 310 completions for – you know, for Fields if he plays all 17. So let's move on to the next team. Let us know what you think about the Chicago Bears and who's going to be their running back one. The Detroit Lions. So they had a very interesting offseason. This team was really becoming one of the fun teams last year. They narrowly missed the playoffs, but they finished on a high note. They made sure the Packers did not get in. Even though they had nothing to play for, they still made sure the Packers didn't get in the playoffs. And their draft got a B+. Mixed reviews on their draft. They traded back from the 6th spot to the 12th spot and took Jahmyr Gibbs. Shocked everybody. This is probably the biggest shock of the draft. And then maybe the second or third biggest shock of the draft was Jack Campbell going at the 18th spot. So they got a really big athletic linebacker. You think like Tremaine Edmonds kind of a guy? That's this guy. He's huge. And then you get Jahmyr Gibbs.
Super athletic also.
Yeah. And the Jahmyr Gibbs is the weapon on offense. They talked a lot about how they're going to use him as a weapon, not just running back. And they got Sam Laporte at tight end, Brian Branch at safety. A lot of people had him in the first round. And so you talk about all the value they might have lost in the first round. They gained it when they got Brian Branch in the middle of round two. Then Hendon Hooker, round three, another guy that potentially could have been a first-round play. They get Hendon Hooker, round three. Then they get Broderick Martin, defensive lineman. Then they get Colby Sorcedal, a tackle. And they got Antoine Green from Michigan State, wide receiver, in the 7th round. B+ on the draft. And then their offseason, they got Chauncey Gardner-Johnson from the Eagles. He's kind of a star kind of a player. He plays in the nickel, plays in the slot, plays safety, plays in the box, plays really kind of a chess piece. Graham Glasgow is a guard, Marvin Jones Jr. receiver. They got Jake McQuaid, long snapper, David Montgomery, running back, Emmanuel Mosley, corner. They got Reeves Maven, linebacker, and Cameron Sutton, corner. They had the worst secondary in football last year by a lot. They were 32nd in passing yards allowed, 32nd in passing touchdowns. They were 32nd on third down conversions. They just, everything as far as the passing game, they needed to fix it. And what did they do? They attacked it in free agency. And that really, really should help the offense keep them on the field more. So Jared Goff last year played one of his best years since, best years period. But it was definitely the best that we've seen him since he's left the Rams and really revitalized his career. So this year, they have him projected for 3,925 yards in 16 games, 24 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, just a little bit on the ground, 82 yards, 2 touchdowns for QB17. QB17 seems a little light for me, Brad, and maybe recency bias. I'm getting excited about Jared Goff from last year, but I'm looking at these weapons. And I think Jared Goff's going to be higher than QB17.
I mean, I don't know that his situation's really changed all that much, right? He swapped DeAndre Swift, an excellent pass-catching running back, with Jahmyr Gibbs, an excellent pass-catching running back. Amon-Ra is still there. They had Josh Reynolds and DJ Shark. They've got Jameson Williams and Marvin Jones. They had TJ Hockenson for about half the season, and now they've got Sam Laporta. So I don't know that the situation has really changed for Jared Goff, but you look at these projections, and Mike Clay is saying, hey, I think he's going to be a worse passer from a yards per attempt perspective. He's going to be have a lower touchdown efficiency, and he's going to throw more interceptions. I just don't know, right? Jared Goff made a lot with a pretty bad offense from a just names perspective, right? If you look at who – do you know who their second targeted receiver was last year?
Last year it was is either Khalif Raymond or Josh Reynolds.
It was Khalif Raymond, these guys that are number five on the list now. Right. So they're not no names. They're guys that you could definitely have, you know, I remember writing my waiver wire article early on in the season saying, hey, go get Khalif Raymond before those targets start to dry up. Right. And Jameson Williams comes back. That didn't necessarily come to full fruition, but now they bring in a Detroit favorite, I would really say, in Marvin Jones, a guy that can play outside. Jameson Williams is going to be back after his suspension. So I think the numbers are going to be very close to the same. If Jared Goff can maintain the poise that he was able to, he's still behind a really good offensive line. He's got David Montgomery that can carry the rock, much like a Jamal Williams was able to last year. So I like where Jared Goff is. And I'm telling, if I can get him at QB 17 price right now, I'm going to snatch that up every time.
Yeah, no, I'm a fan, and I do think he's, you know, he's a good QB too. He doesn't have the rushing upside, so he doesn't have those boom weeks, but he does, you know, he does feel like a safe play. And that Jameson Williams suspension definitely does hurt, but I think once Jameson Williams gets in there, it'd be a big boost for this team. And so let's go to the running backs. Jahmyr Gibbs, they have him down.
Before I, you know, we can't just breeze by your guy. Right. So from we are a dynasty pod. Where are we at with Hendon Hooker? I know you're really high on him. I was high on him. If Jared Goff has another season like he had last year, 4,400 yards, 29 or 30 touchdowns, single digit interceptions, do you think there's a pathway for Hendon Hooker, or do they just stick it out with Jared Goff?
Jared Goff's going to have to play bad for them to move on from him. They have incentive to do so because of the money. If you look at his contract and the dead cap, they can move on from Jared Goff, but they seem to like Jared Goff, that he's got the locker room. He's got the coaching staff. The wheels would really have to fall off. If Jared Goff plays bad, yeah, Hendon Hooker has an opportunity to take over this team as soon as next year, but they're looking at it a redshirt year for Hooker, and it might be a year or two. And maybe Hooker doesn't see the field. But Goff's going to have to – I wouldn't say he's going to have to – he's having breathing down his neck or anything. But it is a situation where if Goff doesn't play worthy of a, you know, $40 million contract, then he could be moved on from easily. And Hendon Hooker's – he's on a cheap deal, third-round pick. If you were to play – you'd have a lot of money to spend on other players if Goff is not playing at a level that is, you know, that is going to help them win some playoff games.
Yeah, where I'm at, this whole roster is young. When you look at Jameson Williams, Sam Laporta, Jahmyr Gibbs, they have a young core. They can afford Jared Goff. Now, do I think they're going to re-sign him to a big deal? No. But there's, in my eyes, if he comes out and is even three-quarters of the quarterback that he was able to be last season, I think they look to try to figure out how to restructure his contract. Because they're not, I just don't see them paying him $31 million next year when they can save 25 or 26 by moving on. So I do think it is a very restructurable thing. Or maybe they re-sign him to a three-year deal and bump that number down back a little bit or whatever the case is. I think Jared Goff has been humbled enough to where he might take a deal like that. You know, we saw Tom Brady do it a ton. I'm not comparing skill sets, but we saw Tom Brady take pay cuts constantly, year in and year out, to allow the team to bring more talent in. And I think Jared Goff, and his situation coming from LA over to Detroit and all the background noise and the rough first season he had, and then came out this past season and played really well. I think there's a world where he ends up just being the long-term answer for them with a longer deal that is just a little bit more team-friendly, and Hendon Hooker is gone. So for me, I'm buying Jared Goff, and I'm using the narrative of they drafted Hendon Hooker, and I loved Hendon Hooker. This guy had 80-7 intercept touchdown interception, blah, 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 and using that as a narrative to be able to get a little bit of a discount on Jared Goff.
We'll see. The $30 million is pretty team-friendly these days. And so you look at what Daniel Jones
– I believe that's the fifth highest-paid quarterback salary.
Well, and once
– I'm sorry, number three.
Once Burrow gets paid and these other guys get paid, they're coming. But I mean, number three, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. I mean, there's definitely people making more money.
His cap hit for this year is number three among the quarterback position.
Gotcha.
According to Sportrack.
Okay. We're talking next year's cap hit. And I don't know what that is. But I mean, the team, as far as a team friendly deal, I mean, Goff definitely doesn't seem like he's going to stick him for money, but we'll see. Running backs, Jahmyr Gibbs, 741 yards rushing, 167 attempts, 190 for 77 for David Montgomery, all of them seven touchdowns. And then you got the receiving. So this was 47, 378, and 2, which seems a little low. Bijan Robinson had actually more receiving work when we looked at, we looked at what the Falcons are going to have. And then David Montgomery, 36 receptions, 276 and 1. And so Montgomery, looking at the stats, I was looking through some, advanced stats today on PFF, and Montgomery was much better than people give him credit for last year as far as an explosive run rate, as far as elusive rating, as far as forced missed tackles. He was one of the top 10 running backs in almost every major category, and he still had to go somewhere else to find a job and didn't really get a lot of money. But Montgomery kind of gets that role that Jamal Williams was in last year. And Jamal Williams was an absolute league winner. And David Montgomery right now, I think he could be a league winner. And not that he's going to be a top 10 running back, but I think he can be a top 25 running back. I think he can score enough points, get enough of the rushing, get a little bit of the receiving, and you're literally paying nothing. Like, you could get David Montgomery for a late second, early third in your Superflex drafts, maybe even cheaper. I have him in a couple leagues, and I'm just going to hold on to him because no one's going to give you enough, and I think he's going to be more valuable on my roster. And he's still not – like, he's not old running back. He's 26 years old. I'm fine with Montgomery. And what are your thoughts here, Gibbs and Montgomery?
I think Montgomery is you may have said this, or maybe I heard it in my mind because I was saying it over and over. This is one of those late round running backs that is a league winner for you. I think that top 25 is, to me, the basement for David Montgomery. I think this dude is putting up top 12 numbers. I think he's a better runner than Jamal Williams. Now, I don't know that he's going to get to that 17 touchdown mark. That is unsustainable for any running back, but I think he is going to powerhouse through the carries. He's going to lead this team in rushing attempts. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is really going to fall into that DeAndre Swift role. I do think he's going to have more rushing attempts than what DeAndre Swift did last year, but I think the first go-to guy on first and second down is going to be David Montgomery. I think the red zone guy is going to be David Montgomery. He's a tackle breaker. He can run between the 20s. He can do everything for you, and it really gives you a weapon that teams just don't maybe plan for necessarily. So I think this guy is definitely somebody I am targeting because he's got, like you said, he's got a pretty decent deal, a 3-year deal to be here and be the running back to split carries with Jahmyr Gibbs. And that, at the price that you're getting right now, I think it's an absolute buy.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking to acquire Montgomery while everyone's going after Gibbs. And I like Gibbs. He's just, you're paying up for him. You're not paying up for Montgomery. And this is a team that brought back, Jim Bob Cooter, the offensive coordinator, and he does like to run the ball. They had one of the highest rush attempts, in the red zone than anybody, and they converted a lot. This is the best offensive line that Dave Montgomery has ever played behind.
By a long shot.
And this is a good offense. So I think he's going to be a good performer. I know the PPR upside isn't necessarily always there with him, but he's a good running back.
He averaged about the same yards per carry as Jamal Williams did behind an offensive line that could just absolutely demolish Chicago's offensive line.
Yeah, and Jamal Williams got a lot of his points because he had 17 touchdowns last year. Yep. It wasn't that he was running for 100 yards a game.
He was still a 1,000-yard rusher.
Yeah, he was a 1,000-yard rusher, and he scored in every single week.
Yeah.
And I picked him up off the waiver wires after week one. running receivers, we kind of brushed on a little bit. Amon-Ra St. Brown is still the guy. 95 for 1,038 and 6 touchdowns. PPR, wide receiver 8. That's pretty good. Then you have Marvin Jones, Jameson Williams, not much production. Jameson Williams will be someone that people will be talking a lot about. Jameson Williams is going to be a steal in your drafts because he's not playing until week 7. And his ADP is going to show that. But, Brad, this happens every year, whether it's a suspension or an injury, and there's a guy that doesn't play until week 7 or 8, and everybody's got him on their sleeper list. And I just can't remember a time it ever worked out. These guys come in, they get hurt, it takes a while for them to get going. It never seems to work out. I mean, Hopkins was pretty good last year when he came back from injury.
Yeah. Well, I think the difference is the age, right? So Jameson Williams is crazy young. If you're drafting him in Dynasty, it's for the longevity. It's not for this year. Now, where that comes to play is wide receiver 36 right now, according to DLF ADP for Dynasty, is a little rich for me right now. He's going above guys like Rashad Bateman, above guys like, okay, maybe it's not. Maybe that's about right. Maybe 36, because I was going to say there's guys below him, but I was looking at it reverse. The guys below him, Christian Kirk, Mike Evans, Rashad Bateman, DeAndre Hopkins, Keenan Allen. Like, okay, if I'm trying to build a squad that I'm trying to win now, I can understand those guys being ahead of him. But if you're trying to have a healthy mix of youth and experience, I think 36 is pretty close for Jameson Williams. And I'd be okay. You just have to understand this year is not the year that he's going to burst onto the scene. The other thing to keep in mind is maybe you let somebody else take him and then you go and revisit in week 4 and say, hey, man, you know what? My team's not all that great. You're looking pretty good. Let me get Jameson Williams and give you a piece. Let me send DeAndre Hopkins over for Jameson Williams, right? And a pick. And you try to play that in-season hype of how well an older player is playing versus the forgotten man of Jameson Williams who hasn't taken a snap yet. You might be able to get him at a little bit more of a discount in season than you would at draft day.
Last thing on the receivers, anyone you're interested in other than Amon-Ra St. Brown?
Not even close.
All right, let's go to the tight ends. Sam Laporta, this guy really was a riser. I mean, he was on a lot of people's top 5, top 6 boards, but the combine, the Senior Bowl, I mean, he just did everything right this offseason, and he ends up a pretty high draft capital in the second round here. And you got 38 receptions, 424 yards, 3 touchdowns, tight end 28. There's no rookie tight end that you should really be counting on year one, period. Kyle Pitts was the best tight end we've seen in a very long time. He got 1,000 yards. That didn't happen since Mike Ditka. I mean, this is a long time since you've seen that kind of production. You've seen some top 12 running the tight ends, but you've only seen 4 in the last 20 years. And so it's really hard, unless you're playing a 2 tight end league, to start any of these guys. And 2 tight end league, that just sounds like a fantasy football punishment. Sam Laporta is one of my favorite guys to get in the second round. You can get him in the mid-second, late-second, and especially in your tight end premium leagues. He's a great guy to stash behind your Darren Wallers and your Zach Ertz and some of your older tight ends. and should be a good tight end moving forward. Any thoughts on Laporta this year as well as Dynasty?
There's a whole lot of vacated targets, man. I mean, a whole lot. 227, according for four to four for four, for the Detroit Lions. I think there's a world where Sam Laporta is the second option for the first 6 weeks of the season, to be honest, because Jameson Williams suspension, you know, are Marvin Jones and Josh Reynolds good enough to keep Sam Laporta from being able to get some of those catches and those targets and opportunities? I don't know. Now, I'm not trying to say Sam Laporta is a top 10 tight end this season or anything like that, but tight end 28 to me is just way off the mark, way off the mark. These other three guys are not keeping Sam Laporta off the field right now. I think he is their every down passing tight end, pass catching tight end. And because of the amount of targets that are available, I think he's quite possibly probably the second, probably the third, if you really think about Jahmyr Gibbs, the third option on the team. And that can produce you some pretty solid weeks. So I think he's closer to that 15 to 20. And we've talked about it before. That's really only like a point difference. So it's not like tight end 20 to 28 is much different, but I do think he's going to be a little bit higher than that. Actually, quite a bit higher than that by the end of the season.
Yeah, we just had Cole Kmet up, and they were very similar numbers. Yeah. It, 28 is – it's more the numbers, like 424 yards and three touchdowns. I think Cole Kmet had four touchdowns and the same yards, same receptions, and he's tight end 13. So let's move on to the next team.
All right.
We got the Green Bay Packers, and they got a B-plus from PFF for their draft. Lucas Van Ness, look up his YouTube, his draft moment. Some drunk dude at the party, I still don't know what the relation was, just dive bombs on him when he's getting the call from the Packers. Luke Musgrave, tight end, the second round. Jaden Reed, receiver. Tucker Kraft, tight end. Colby Wooden, edge. Then they have Sean Clifford, quarterback, Dontavius Wicks, receiver, Carl Brooks, D lineman. They have Anders Carlson at kicker. Then they have Carrington Valentine, corner, Lou Nichols, running back, Anthony Johnson, the safety. And then they have Grant DuBose, another receiver out of Charlotte. Got a B-plus again. And then for their offseason, the biggest news, Aaron Rodgers is out of town. Traded him for a conditional first-round pick next year, as well as pick, I think it was pick 52 or pick 42 that the Jets received in the Elijah Moore trade from the Browns. And they added Tre'Davious Moore and then Matt Orzech. So they got a safety and a long snapper. So very boring free agency for the Packers, unless they go and make a splash and get DeAndre Hopkins. But Jordan Love season. It is Jordan Love. And they actually re-signed Jordan Love to a one-year extension. So he's going to be the quarterback for at least one more year. Probably, it looks like two based on the contract. What are your thoughts here? They got him at QB 24.
I can't get on board, man. I just can't. And I know, like, you look at everything and it looks good. And the 85% adjusted completion percentage, 9.3 yards per attempt. He's not throwing, turnover-worthy plays. If you look at some of these PFF metrics, you're missing that wow factor for me. And, you know, to me, that means you're going to have and gets replaced. So I can't get on board with the Jordan Love hype. I'm not going to pay for him. If he gets thrown into a dynasty trade in a super flex league, I will take some interest in it, but he's not a guy I'm looking at. And quite frankly, the Green Bay Packers in their entirety is not something I'm looking at because I don't know what's happening. You just don't know.
Well, yeah, and so I'm a little bit more optimistic on the Packers than Brad is, and we've talked about this. We definitely won't need to spend 15 minutes on Musgrave and Kraft this time, the Packers are going to look different for sure, and we'll see. They're expected to be pretty heavy on the rushing game, which leads us to Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon getting well over 300 touches between the two of them. And Aaron Jones heavily involved in the receiving game. A.J. Dillon also heavily involved in the receiving game with a running back one and a running back three finish with those two running backs. Jordan Love looks like they have him as kind of a game manager in this scenario. And he's got a pretty young crew. I mean, this is a young team minus Aaron Jones. Jordan Love, young. He's only had one or two career starts. Then you have Aaron Jones, who's on the last year of his contract with the Packers. A.J. Dillon, also on the last contract. And then they have Christian Watson, first-round pick from last year, or high second-round pick. Jaden Reed, second-round pick this year. Romeo Doubs, I think, was a fifth. Then you have Dontavius Wicks. We just said that he was a fifth-round pick. Samori Torre, and then you have Grant DuBose. So with the running backs, are you interested in trading for any of these guys, Aaron Jones or A.J. Dillon?
Yeah, if I'm trying to win now, Aaron Jones is the guy, right? I think you can get him fairly cheap because of the fact that he's older and he's in the last year of his deal. So he's going to be virtually free next season. You know, think about Ezekiel Elliott and some of these, you know, Kareem Hunt, some of these other guys that, you know, are still not even on a team yet. I think that could be a situation you see Aaron Jones in just because of the way the running back market is. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying he shouldn't be on one, but it would not shock me if he goes unsigned through camp next year. If Green Bay doesn't figure out a way to kind of keep him. So right now I'm using that. I'm trying to buy him because he's the only piece of the entire Green Bay offense that I'm interested in. I don't want any wide receivers, any tight ends, but Aaron Jones at the running back room, that's what I'm looking at.
Yeah. And Christian Watson, I like Christian Watson, but I do know the price is a little higher for him. But Christian Watson is an explosive player. He was hyper efficient last year. But he also was an explosive player. And so we talk about, you know, what are the weapons on this offense? He is probably the biggest weapon on this team other than Aaron Jones. And Christian Watson is going to be their leader in targets, according to Mike Clay. 109 targets, 69 receptions, just under 1,000 yards, and then 6 touchdowns. And, you know, I can see that. And so that's a top 20 finish. And I can see this happening here. He's gonna be a target hog in this roster, and he's got the big playability. Jaden Reed, they have him as the number two. And so when we looked at some of the other rookies, this is pretty high production here. You have 76 targets going to Jaden Reed, 76 to Romeo Doubs. So they're really kind of hedging their bets on who's gonna be the number two. 47 receptions, 586 yards, and 3 touchdowns for Jaden Reed. And then you have Romeo Doubs, 46 receptions, 572 and 2. Talk about a team with a lot of vacated targets. You got Randall Cobb's out of town. Alan Lazard's out of town. Robert Tonyan's out of town. This team also has a lot of vacated targets. And these are the guys that are going to get them. And Dontavian Wicks is another guy that you can see is pretty high on the board. Any thoughts here on the wide receivers?
258 targets, to be exact, are open for grabs. I'm going to take the cheapest option in drafts. I'm hoping that turns out to be Jaden Reed, because I do think eventually he's going to end up being the number two option behind Christian Watson. I can't pay for Christian Watson, right? That's you talked about that a little bit earlier. He's going to be one of those guys that I'm likely going to miss on, because he's going to hit or he won't hit or whatever. If he does, if I want him, I'm going to pay that up price, but I don't want to get caught with my pants down, around Christian Watson and the whole entire team around him changing. So.
Yeah, and for me, Jaden Reed has become one of my favorite round two picks. And I do think you can get some early production out of him. This guy has an early breakout age. He was a very productive player at, you know, not only at Michigan State, but at Central Michigan. His year last year wasn't as good. Michigan State really was a mess. And Jaden Reed suffered because of it. But this guy still had very high draft capital, which shows me that NFL teams really believed in him. Bucky Brooks and Daniel Jeremiah were very excited about Jaden Reed. And he was just one of those guys that really can create a lot after the catch and do a lot of the underneath stuff, while Christian Watson's more of your deep play guy.
So I'm going to put you to the test. Jaden Reed or Marvin Mims?
Yeah, I knew you were going to go there. And so I'll take Jaden Reed over Marvin Mims. But if you look at my Dynasty Planet, 4-4, I am splitting, hedging the bet. I got half Marvin, half Jaden Reed. I may have five of one of them because I had so many late seconds and early thirds.
All right. Jaden Reed or Elijah Moore?
I'd have to look at my rankings. That's a tough one. Elijah Moore is someone that, you know, we haven't seen anything from him since his, you know, rookie year. But I think he's in a good situation. And so probably Elijah Moore, but it's super close.
All right. We'll do one more. This one's a little bit, I feel like probably a little bit easier. Jaden Reed or Cortland Sutton?
I'll take Jaden Reed. I think Cortland Sutton has not been the same since the knee injury.
That's kind of the ADP realm you're looking at. You're looking at Cortland Sutton, Kadarius Toney, Marvin Mims, Elijah Moore, Josh Downs, Wandale Robinson, like all these kind of, we'll say, number two options for their teams. What do you want to, you know, take your pick of the litter to kind of deal? So, okay, cool.
Yeah, and, you know, with the rookies, of course, there's the unknown is always the excitement. But Jaden Reed was a guy that I was really getting higher on. It's funny. I was listening to one of our episodes from before the draft, and we were talking about some of these guys. And I was like, two guys that are going to go much higher are Jaden Reed and Jonathan Mingo. Man, I nailed it. And in the next sentence, I said, the Baltimore Ravens only have 6 draft picks. They're not going to take a receiver in the first round. So I was talking about day two options, you know, for the Baltimore Ravens, and they drafted one of the first. Yeah, win some, lose some.
That's
and then
right.
You have Luke Musgrave. He's really one of the biggest projections in this draft class. He is a super athletic guy. He is a massive tight end at 6'7", 255 pounds, and he moves really, really well. And so as far as a projection, this is it. He has not a lot of production in college. Some of it's due to injuries, but this guy is projected to be the number one. And they have Tucker Kraft. This team's expected to do a lot of two tight end sets, a lot of running of the football, and the tight ends are going to be – they're going to be nice blankets for Jordan Love. And so you may not see them deep down the field, but you're going to see them, you know, getting targets closer to the line of scrimmage. They have 43 going to Luke and 33 going to Tucker. And then you have about 600 yards, well, 250 yards combined, or 550 yards combined, 4 touchdowns. Musgrave and Kraft, I mean, those guys, they are a little bit later. I mean, third round, fourth round picks. Any interest?
In Dynasty, yeah. I think Luke Musgrave coming off as the tight end 18 in Dynasty startups behind Chig Okonkwo, behind Greg Dulcich, behind Evan Engram. Just before Trey McBride and Juwan Johnson, I think that's a really good, solid value price to get a guy as athletic as Luke Musgrave. And you hope, right, if you're waiting to take a tight end, hopefully he's your tight end too at this point. And he's got a very high ceiling if he hits it. So I really like the value at tight end 18 and Dynasty startup drafts for Luke Musgrave.
Yeah, same. And he's going an early third round in your rookie drafts. And then if you want to double your bets, just go get Tucker Kraft in the fourth round or as an undrafted free agent. Both are good players. I would have liked to see one of these guys go to their own situation. But I think they're both going to be, you know, I think there's a good shot one of these guys is going to be really good. And, you know, we'll see. Let's go on to the last team, the Minnesota Vikings. And so the Minnesota Vikings, they had a good draft. They got a B- from the PFF guys. Jordan Addison in the first round, wide receiver. Mekhi Blackman, corner. Jay Ward, corner. It'll say Jacqueline. Jake Line, however it is, Roy, defensive lineman. And then you have Jaren Hall, cornerback, Dwayne McBride, running back. And so Dwayne McBride was a seventh round pick, and we'll be talking about him for sure. And then as far as the offseason, they acquired Marcus Davenport, probably one of the highest pieces they picked up. He's a edge from the Saints. Dean Lowry, defensive lineman. Byron Murphy, corner. Josh Oliver, tight end. Brandon Powell, wide receiver. Troy Reader, linebacker. And Joe Juan Williams, corner. B-plus for the offseason. The Vikings were one of the best teams in the league last year until they ran into the juggernaut that is Daniel Jones and the New York Giants in the playoffs. Kirk Cousins had a really, really good year. He loses Adam Thielen, but he gets Jordan Addison. And he added TJ Hockenson, which I really think kind of unlocked this offense. And Hockenson was peppered with targets when he got to Minnesota. They did not waste any time. So Kirk Cousins, QB9. What are your thoughts here? 4,487 yards, 29 touchdowns, 102 on the ground with two TDs. QB9.
Yeah, I think that's about – I mean, he is kind of that consistent 9-12 quarterback. You know when you do not play Kirk Cousins in your starting fantasy lineup, yeah. which is nice. But
no prime time.
Yeah, that's right. But any other time that he plays on Sundays, you're good to go. He's locked and loaded. And I think if things stay the way they are, I think that's going to be the best thing for Kirk Cousins and really for the Minnesota Vikings offense. I do think it's a lot of noise for Dalvin Cook right now. I don't know that he's actually being moved. But if they do move him, I don't know that I believe that Alexander Mattison can do the same thing that Dalvin Cook does as consistently as Dalvin Cook does it. And I do think that's going to make them a little more of a one-dimensional team and could hurt the overall production for Kirk Cousins. So my hope, knock on wood, is that Dalvin Cook is on this roster for this year because I think it's the best thing for the team. So I think adding Jordan Addison really helps Kirk Cousins with just really another security blanket saying, hey, you know what, JJ, go do your thing. But guess what? I've got a guy that can play underneath now that can maybe draw a little bit of coverage in. Now maybe I can hit KJ Osborne over the top and use that speed that he's got. And TJ Hockenson is there as well. I just think they've got a lot of pieces and there's enough volume to go around to have three viable receiving options in Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and TJ Hockenson.
Yeah, and we disagree on Alexander Mattison. I think Mattison has been very good whenever he's got an opportunity. And I know you said that he's just been meh. And I think there's some people who agree with you and some people who agree with me. And Dalvin Cook, it is smoke. There's nothing out there, but I'll say this. Last month, the Minnesota Vikings quietly changed their Twitter banner, and it changed from Dalvin Cook to Alexander Mattison. Dalvin Cook is in South Beach training with all the Miami Dolphins, including the guy that trains more than half the Miami Dolphins. He's publicly said he wants to play with the Bills or the Dolphins. There's a lot of smoke. And when there's this much smoke, there's typically a fallout. I mean, the tweets that I was reading the other day, I was like, man, did Dalvin Cook get released? Like, they're talking about, like, life without Dalvin Cook, the Vikings post Dalvin Cook. I'm like, it didn't happen, did it? And so I thought it happened based on what I was reading. It has not, and Mike Clay is projecting it to not happen. These projections are about a month old, and he has Dalvin Cook for 1,000 yards, 37 receptions for 289, so about 1,300 yards all purpose with 9 touchdowns and RB14. And so Alexander Mattison, only 377 yards and 102, 4 touchdowns, RB59. The problem is all the smoke here, your buy low window on Alexander Mattison is out. Now you have to, if you believe in Alexander Mattison, and how about we started an auction the day that all these rumors started, and I have Alexander Mattison up on the block and everyone's starting to bid it, and the guy's like, hey, man, thanks for sharing all that Alexander Mattis and stuff. I'm like, yeah, you just bid him for $12,000. Thanks, JB. But yeah, like Alexander Mattison did get a lot more work last year, and it really did help Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook played the first time in his season, first time in his career that he's played a full season was last year. He did go into the playoffs banged up with a shoulder injury. That's been a nagging shoulder injury for a few years now. But Alexander Mattis is still young. He's 25. And he definitely has some juice. And if he does get, you know, gets the workload, he's proven that he can get RB1 finishes if he gets 15-plus touches. There's nobody else I'm interested in except for Dwayne McBride, who isn't even on this.
Yep.
He's a fourth-round stash that I've been picking up in all my leagues because Kine Nwangu is just a kick returner. CJ Ham's a fullback. Ty Chandler is interesting in your really super deep leagues, but I've been getting Dwayne McBride in the fourth round, like, constant.
Yep. And for me, he's one of those guys. If Dalvin Cook goes, I'm moving him immediately. I'm going to take the jump in value. I'm moving him, and we're just going to go from there.
I'm going to read some price check results, and this is why you can sell Alexander Mattison if you don't believe in him, or even if you just want to sell him because he's an extra piece, you don't want to gamble. Over 2,200 votes, Dalvin Cook 55%. Alexander Mattison, 45. Alexander Mattison, 54 over Pacheco, 46. Charbonnet was 51, Alexander Mattison, 49. Alexander Mattison, 63, David Montgomery, 37. Alexander Mattison, 54, James Cook, 46. Alexander Mattison, 57, Devin Achane, 43. Alexander Mattison, 70, A.J. Dillon, 30. I think we might have got another Brad meme.
Oh, you definitely did.
I mean, yeah. It looked like you were going to throw up.
Yeah, this is disgusting. This is ridiculous.
Well, you did not like Alexander Mattison before all this hype.
That's true. That is true. Over David Montgomery. What?
Alexander Mattison. Over Kamara, 56-44. Kendre Miller, 51-49. Mattison over Brian Robinson, 77-23. Alexander Mattison over your boy Antonio Gibson, 65-35. Alexander Mattison, 77. Khalil Herbert, 23. Alexander Mattison, 72. Roshan, 28. Alexander Mattison, 68. James Conner, 32. Mattison, 77. Bigsby, 23. Mattison, 89. Spears, 11. Alexander Mattison versus P. Ryan. What do you think that one is?
Mattison and P. Ryan? Oh, that's... I mean, I would think that should be close to 50-50, but it's probably... I mean, based on what I've heard, it's got to be 70-30.
It is 89-11.
Yeah.
Mattison.
I'm not buying it. This dude for the last 2 years has been sub 4 yards a carry. He does not look, he's not even remotely close to this. I don't want to go down the rabbit hole.
Wow. So, we'll have to do another show on Alexander Mattison. Yeah. And then Brad's going to have to buy an Alexander Mattison jersey. It's an RB1 week one. Yeah. So Jordan Addison was a guy that we were much higher on than the consensus. Some people had him at 3 or 4. We were pretty, he's either 1 or 2 all offseason for us. He ends up being one of the top guys off the board, and he's projected to be the most productive of all the receivers this year. A lot of the money line, a lot of Vegas lines have him being the most productive, and he walks into a great situation. He's got a good quarterback, pass heavy offense, and he's next to Justin Jefferson, so he doesn't have to be the one. And all the defenses are going to be focused on Justin Jefferson, TJ Hockenson, and then Jordan Addison can do all the other stuff without having to be the guy. 57 receptions, 766 yards, 5 touchdowns, wide receiver 42. I mean, I think he can get higher than that. I think those are pretty good numbers, but I still think he can get over 57 receptions, get into that 70 receptions, over 800 yards, and get those 5 touchdowns, get it to be a wide receiver 3.
Yeah, that catch rate scares me a whole lot. 57 catches on 91 targets. I do think there's a chance that he's over 100 targets, not because I don't think TJ Hockenson or JJ will be over 100, but because just we talked about earlier, the sheer number of passing attempts that I think the Minnesota Vikings are gonna end up with this season is going to allow him to be up over the 100 target mark. And my other benchmark here is, look, I know they're, you know, it's apples to bananas. It's not the same thing. But if I can watch George Pickens in his rookie season go over 800 yards, a guy like Jordan Addison who can separate much better than George Pickens. He's not as explosive as Pickens, obviously. He doesn't have the crazy catches and all that. But a guy with the route running chops of Addison should be able to do the same, if not better, in a very pass-heavy offense. So,
any interest in KJ Osborne?
No. In best ball. I think best ball, there's a world for him, but not on my dynasty squads.
Let's go to TJ Hockenson, tight end 3. I love TJ Hockenson, and I love getting him in my dynasty startups. Getting him in, you know, you get him in the 5th round. I think that you're going to get very good production for a long time. He's just hitting his prime. And he's in a great spot here, and I don't see any reason why he shouldn't. 75 receptions, 846 yards, and 6 TDs. I mean, he was getting double-digit targets every week since joining the Vikings. 110 targets, that's a fair projection. I think it's over 75 receptions, over 846 yards, over 6 touchdowns, and I think he's a dark horse candidate for TE1.
Yeah, I need to see a little bit more from him. It would not shock me based on the volume. 92 targets this guy had with the Minnesota Vikings. But let me read this.
92 targets in 8 games?
Yes.
It's 8 games. Project that. That's 160 targets.
Yeah, but hang on a second. Let me read some. So 10 targets for 45 yards and no touchdowns. 45 yards, 8 targets, 34 yards, 8 targets, 33 yards, 12 targets, 59 yards. The volume is there. You chase that out.
That was his first month with the Minnesota Vikings.
Yep. And I'm not saying to fade TJ Hockenson. I'm not saying any of those things. I'm just saying, don't have over expectations with TJ Hockenson right now. While he may get the volume, there's a little bit of scariness with me just with the depth of target that he's getting right now, which is very low.
Yeah, and you want air yards. We looked at it, you know, looked at tight ends. You want targets and you want air yards. Those are going to be your predictors. You have to have both. You're not going to, if you want to have a good, consistent, you know, season the next year, those guys that show up, there's always one or two guys that show up that have 50 receptions and they're a tight end 1. It's because they had a ton of touchdowns. Eric Ebron, Robert Tonyan, Dawson Knox, these guys that have a lot of touchdowns, 50 receptions. So yeah, you're going to want to see that. But yeah, I did want to point out that he's finally got an offseason to go through with Kirk Cousins and really be instilled in this offense. They wanted to get him going fast, and he got 10 targets. He only caught 4 of them. Kirk Cousins and him literally had like one practice, a walkthrough, and then he was out there.
But he went 9 for 9 in his first game with Kirk Cousins.
Oh, 9 for 9. There you go.
Yeah, caught all 9 balls. So
yeah, and so that's the NFC North. It's been always a lot of fun. Make sure you check out our AFC series. We've got the East, the North, the West, and the South already out. This is our first NFC episode. On Thursday, we'll be taking care of the NFC East.
Let's do the East. Sure, let's do East.
Well, yeah, let's do the East and take care of my Giants.
I like it. I like it. One more thing I do just want to get to. We haven't been talking a whole lot about betting, but look, the NBA Finals are going on right now. Tomorrow, we got Game 3 between the Nuggets and the Heat. And again, one of our sponsors, Edge Boost, give you that opportunity to kind of increase that bankroll a little bit. If you take the Denver Nuggets at -2.5, you put $20 on there, the payout is not great unless you use Edge Boost, which will double your winnings. So make sure you check that out. Make sure you go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up today.
All right. As always, good luck this season.
Cheers.